Well, I'm being forced to use a Mac today, so we'll see how this adventure
You're
goes.
You're welcome.
You're a witch. You're a witch.
Should have been doing it. Who forgot their own computer at home, Miriam?
I did. It was me. Miriam. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
Hi.
Hi, Julia Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Oh, fam, join us on the Patreon.
Yeah, wow.
You know, the thing is, the Patreon's really fun. It's where we're doing drag bingo every single month. We're doing all kinds of virtual events, virtual happy hours.
Yep.
Over 500 full, no, not 500. Let's go with 400 full ad-free
bonus episodes. It's a lot because it's the regular feed episodes that are ad-free.
Correct.
And then it's all the series. And then it's like after parties and AMAs. So if you told me 500, I believe it.
I believe it. Okay.
There's a lot going on.
Right now, we're knee deep in season two of The Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
Yeah, Natalia speaks.
It's a wild. And does she ever? Sometimes she yells.
Good for her. She's allowed to. But, oh, God, what a mess that whole thing is.
What a mess. All right. This is going to be a long one, is my prediction.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 hours anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm assuming our episode is going to be 9 hours.
Yes, just about. Give or take.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about Last Stop Larimar.
Last time I saw Paddy was December the 16th.
So he just lied to folks and off he went.
The next day I did go looking for him.
He wasn't there.
There was no sign of any disturbance.
There was a very eerie feeling.
Everyone in Larimar was a suspect.
What's your relationship with Paddy?
Did you knock Paddy off?
Where's Paddy's body?
Do you know what happened? Are you involved?
I don't know nothing.
Paddy Rock, definitely not an angel.
Really?
What happened with Paddy? That's been on the agenda for a long time.
Perhaps Paddy was murdered and put into some pies.
What's stopping Barry from feeding him to the crocodile? That's why the crocodile's fat.
There was utter hatred in this town.
All right, right away, we meet Karen and Mark. They tell us there's been a murder.
Yeah.
And we're going to get we also learned we're going to get this documentary in 5 acts.
Right. So
it's a lot of acts.
Yeah, a lot. Larimar, Australia, population 11. It's quote, that's a fact. That's like kind of why we're here, that there used to be 11 and now there's 10. Someone's dead.
Oh my God, you hate this documentary.
I just wish there was more of stuff. I'll tell you. You'll know. I'll let you know.
Dear listener, I promise you, if Jillian hates something, she's going to let you know.
I just think we wasted a whole lot of time. But Christy O'Brien's here. She's a reporter for ABC News. And she describes it as a town that is, quote, falling off the map. People didn't really have a reason to stop there anymore. The traditional custodians of the land are the Yangman people. No cell phone reception. No police station. There's a pub and a crocodile, and that's kind of it.
You're really knocking it out of the park.
I mean,
that crocodile is also scary.
As they all are. Stay far from. They are fast as hell.
And are they?
They're not going to take it anymore. They are really fast.
Do you know the difference between.
No.
Between an alligator and a crocodile?
That's over because I got you last time.
It's true. You did.
Gotcha. Don't it hurt you.
Well, we meet Cookie. They call him the candy thief.
But we used to have some good fun down here.
We don't know why they call him the candy thief.
No, we meet a lot of people that we think we're going to see throughout, and then we never see them again. Cookie is one of them.
Larimar used to be great.
When I moved in here, this place was excellent. You crack a few tinnies and have a barbecue. That's what it was like here.
It was all barbecues and beers. We meet Billy. Billy is very, very sick.
Yeah, this is a place where people buy homes for cartons of beer.
Right.
Cut to Almost Famous. What kind of beer? Billy was the first person to have a TV.
Yes.
He got along with everyone except Fran. Now, Fran is the pie lady.
Yes.
Now, musical theater people, you hold tight.
You hold tight.
I know what you're thinking. We will get there.
I called it maybe 45 minutes before the documentary called it.
Well, homemade famous pies. What did you not clock
and
it?
A man has gone missing.
When we first meet Fran.
Totally.
Musical theater people, hold tight. We'll get there. And for non-musical theater people, we'll explain when we get there.
Yes. Now, I just want to explain, Billy has some form of cancer and his treatment has required him to just get half of his tongue cut off.
Yes.
So he's a little bit difficult to understand if you hear him.
Yeah. Barry, he's a publican. His bar's open 24 hours. Good on you, Barry.
You know what? It's the kind of bar I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One day he stopped in Larimar, walked into the pub, never left, and now the guy owns it. Making dreams come true.
But Barry's kind of a son of a bitch, too. We'll get to him later.
No, they all are. Don't. Like, no one's innocent here. Except Kelly the dog.
Kelly
the dog is innocent.
Innocent victim.
But, like, much like Stefan, like, this bar has everything.
It's not only a pub. It's also a hotel, caravan park, a shop where everybody picks up their mail.
It's also a greyhound freight depot.
And Barry just built a beautiful zoo, thousands of birds, snakes, wallabies. Had a big crocodile there.
It's a post office, it's a bus depot, it's a zoo, like... This bar is everything.
Yep, yep.
Chapter 1, population 11 with an X through it. 10.
Yes. Yes, because now it's population 10 because Patty Moriarty has gone missing. One thing that they tell us later, but I'm going to tell you right now, is that at some point in the recent past, before Patty went missing, some news person came and interviewed every member of the town, all 11 yes. residents. And so
Patty was alive and well at the time.
Was alive and well, accounted for, and that footage is used. I think it's the only reason this documentary got made. It's
pretty
all used
ominous yes. now that we have it. So Patty, we get this introduction to Patty where everything is great and he's a living legend and he's an icon. And then in 10 minutes, we learn that actually everybody hated him. It's a little confusing. They use the word icon.
We also get like Patty came over from Ireland in 1718 or 19. No, he will tell us later he came over in 66.
No, but he was like 19 years old is what they're saying. They're debating his age, not...
I thought it was like...
The early 1900s. 2019. No, no, no. They're debating. They say he came from Ireland when he was about 19 years old, but then there's all this other shit that all these relationships and he just like lies. But he's just one of the... He tells tall tales, this guy.
I was channeling you because I'm like, they say he came over in 17, 18, or 19. He says 66, so who knows? And who cares?
I don't
who
care. Cares? Certainly not me.
We also get this thing where Karen and Mark, they're a couple, they're doing their interview and people just keep walking through.
Everyone's interview gets interrupted, especially if you're in law enforcement. We'll get to that.
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Dipsy is back. We love and have always loved the Dipsy over here on TCO.
Yeah, Dipsy, in case you're new here, first of all, welcome.
But also, where have you been? Do you know what
where
I mean?
Where have you been? Yeah. Especially for the Dipsy, because Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy, emphasis on spicy, audio stories.
Yeah, the whole thing about Dipsy, they bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. You can discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And you know how the whole thing, where everyone's obsessed with the Court of Thorns and Roses and that whole like fantasy yes. world thing?
Yes,
so
yes.
They have this growing library of fantasy series with like, we're talking like werewolves and Greek gods and these goddesses, and like they also have Regency era historical fiction and your favorite and mine, fairy smut. Right. So you could just explore all kinds of things.
I forgot how much I'm obsessed with fairy smut. Fairy smut, that's my drag name. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction, fam.
Yeah, and they have new content that's released every week, so you can listen to your favorite stories, like go to what's familiar, or you can find something new. They got options for everybody.
So fam, for listeners of TCO, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/TCO.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsestories.com/TCO.
dipsystories.com/TCO. Go get your fairy smile. Smut on.
I mean, or not, or find something else. But I'm just saying, if you want fairy smut, like you can find it on Dipsy. Right. December 16th, 2017, Patty goes missing. That's the night he went missing.
Yeah.
He's at the pub.
He was a little bit more pissed, a little bit, but I'm talking like he stood up and he might have taken a half a step. That's it. Like, oh, okay then, folks. That's my fill. I've had my last supper, which is his last beer, last supper. You know? And see you later, folks, and off he went.
He's a little drunker than usual, but, like, not too bad, all things considered.
I was going to say, which is to say, like, just insanely drunk. Like, he's a little more drunk than usual, but usual is crazy drunk, and tonight he's, like, insanely drunk.
I think what they're saying is, like, if we're noticing how drunk he is, he's bad.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
So he did tell Barry, the owner of the bar, that he wanted to borrow his lawnmower. So
Tomorrow.
So Barry expected to see Patty the next day, and he never showed up.
Yes.
And then, like, word gets around pretty quickly, and I'm like, well, it only has 10 people to spread to.
Right.
So,
and they all hang out at the pubs. So.
And they all hate each other. And it makes sense.
The people of this town
hate each other. But we learn that it's apparently very easy to go missing in Australia.
Well, what they're saying is that like, it's a huge area around this town. Anybody could like wander out into the bush and get lost. But we learn 38,000 people go missing in Australia each year. They say every 3 hours, someone goes missing, never to be seen again in Australia.
Well, that's just the reported people.
Like, oh my God.
So think about everyone else.
Yeah.
So Patty is missing. They search his house because the door was still open. Again, this is a town. No one gives a shit. There's no, ten of them. Who
there's
cares?
Also nothing to steal. But they, when they get into Patty's house, they see that, like, the major thing is that his hat was there.
Well, that's when they knew something was wrong, because Patty never used to go anywhere without his hat and his wallet.
It was real shy because it was bold as a bowling ball.
One guy who knew him 10 years didn't know he was bald.
Because he always had a hat.
There was somebody who had known him for like 20 years or whatever didn't know he was bald because he never took his hat off.
But also like his keys, his wallet, his glasses.
Things that you would never leave.
And no one is mentioning it, but Patty's dog, Kelly, is also missing. She's a border collie and she's perfect and I love her.
Of course. I just want to point out that one of the people says that Patty was as bald as a bowling ball.
Yes. Very shiny.
I'm on my way, girl.
Oh, please. So one of these coppers is here.
Yes. Oh, God.
And the phone keeps ringing as he's trying to talk. And it sounds like the Jersey Shore duck phone. It sounds like a duck. That's what it sounds like. And every time he's like, right, so I'm so glad you're here. He's like,
oh. We'll just let that ring. That'll stop it. No, I better get that.
He doesn't answer it.
No.
He just waits for it to ring itself.
Somebody is calling with an emergency, and this guy does not feel like answering the phone. So the phone stops.
It sounds like a duck. It's the Jersey Shore duck phone.
Gabs, yeah.
It's the Jersey Shore duck phone.
That is, they have a duck phone on the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, that it's just like, it looks like a mallard.
But they say that the guy that we're talking to, his name is Detective Chalky. They get to Larimar. They go straight to the pub because they know like that's where Patty would be.
And they
honestly
don't really get a lot of calls from Larimar is what he's saying. Like,
yeah.
When Patty's missing.
I love that like he's trying to couch the fact that like they're going to go looking for Patty at the pub. If I ever go missing, the first place people should look is the gay bar around the corner.
Right, but like there's 10 people.
I know.
He's not there. Like,
yeah.
He's not in town. So don't go looking for him in town because he's not there.
Right. He's not there.
But this one guy, we meet him for 2 seconds. His name is Dez.
I used to be principal of a local school. Being a principal is quite interesting. I didn't quite fit the mold, so as you can probably imagine.
So how did you hear about Patty going missing?
I might just grab a quick beer.
So he gets up from the cooler he's sitting on and cracks one open. Raising my glass to Dez. Thanks, Dez. See you later. If we see him, ever see him again?
He used to be the principal of the local school. He was not a good fit.
Yeah, he's a fire and emergency response guy and also a local teacher who I just love it. I just get grab a quick beer and then he just stands up and grabs it.
But
like Dez,
that's
I love
the
you.
Thing is that like these people are just drinking beer all day long. Like it's like it's the like it's the 1500s.
Like it's what?
But, you know,
a problem?
Like, no, it's not a problem. But you know,
it's
like,
hot out there. A little cold one is refreshing.
I'm in agreement with you, but remember back like in the Shakespearean days when like you would just drink beer all day long?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
But like back in the times of Shakespeare, like that was what they drank. Like you didn't get up and make water. You got up and had a beer.
Well, because the water was disgusting. It would kill you.
Right. So
it
you
had
do
like
remember.
Dysentery in
yeah,
it, right?
Totally.
Like you, like kids were drinking wine at like 15 because like what else are they going to drink?
Right. Yes.
That's a true thing.
I'm just saying. People in this town drink beer. They are never not drinking beer.
Right.
You know?
Foster's Australian for beer.
Absolutely.
So Patty's been missing
6 days.
6 days. Everyone has high hopes because Patty would take a walk every morning. So maybe he's, quote, on the side of the road somewhere. And I'm like, is that what high hope sounds like?
I know. They're just kind of like, nobody can believe that this guy's dead. They love him or hate him. Everybody has one strong emotion about this guy.
It's true.
And they cannot, love him or hate him, they cannot imagine this town without him. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, they're like, I'm not searching for him. You do it. Like, no one, usually it's like, and then the community came from far and wide. Everyone was like, this guy's on his fucking own.
The thing that we learn, Luke tells us, everybody tells us.
I mean, I know they're coppers and we're Aussies, mate. We all hate coppers. You know, they know that. We know that. What do you do every day? What's your relationship with Patty? It was all, I don't know, trying to trip me up or something.
All 11 of them, now 10, hate the cops.
Well, they hate the cops.
They do not trust the cops at all. And these are the kinds of people who live in places like this, like way out. They want to be off the grid. They don't want anybody to bother them. So, like, they want to find this guy, but, like, one of them probably killed him. And everyone's, like, peeping out their windows. And this guy, Luke, is like, is this what it's like here all the time? Like, just eerie and dark and nobody wants to talk to you?
And they're like, yeah. Do you have a problem? Exits that way.
Totally.
There's 11 of us. We're full.
You know what? You would drive in this town.
We are not taking any applications. I most certainly would not. I most certainly would not. So this is where we see more of that footage from Patty and like all of the townspeople from that news segment or whatever. Someone's like, they're kind of sinister now.
Right.
Because everyone, and I mean everyone, is really vocal about who they hated and why and the rivalries. I'm like, what was this interview for?
I know.
They're just talking about how much they absolutely, I mean, hated each other, especially Fran and Patty.
Especially Fran and Patty really hated each other.
Patty's calling her the C word on the news.
And there's also Bobby and Carl.
And
which
not
is,
in the way we say it now.
No.
Not charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And like in the outdated way where it used to be a bad word.
Yep.
Now it's like, oh, you're cunt. That's awesome.
That's the best.
That's a good thing.
But Patty is, like, Patty is also a little bit drunk and a little bit scary. And the thing about these interviews, as one of the reporters will say to us, is that, like,
to hear so candidly where there was no reason to not tell the truth, where everyone just kind of laid it on the line in terms of what they thought of each other, fascinating material to have access to in a case like this.
And everyone's a little bit hammered, so everyone's just being super honest about how they feel about everybody else. But now it's sinister because everyone's talking about how much they hate Patty and why.
But one person in this old footage is like, yeah, we get along pretty well, I guess. I mean, there hasn't been a murder yet.
Right.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. So when you play that
I know.
Like there has now been a murder, it's kind of, you know.
Yes. December 2017, Patty's been missing 9 days.
On Christmas Day, detectives from the Serious Crime Squad in Darwin all came down. Two first, and then another two, and then another three, and until there was about 12 of them here. So there was more detectives here than there were residents of Larimer.
Detectives outnumber the residents of the town.
The residents who, again, they hate...
Want nothing to do with them.
I don't know who they hate more, the cops or each other. So can you imagine? It's like there's 12 of them and 11 of us or 10 of us. Like, let's get them.
We meet Matt Allen. He's the detective sergeant of the Major Crime Squad. This poor guy does not seem emotionally equipped for the job.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know the kid in your high school who was the president of the weather club? That's what Matt Allen looks like. And that kid is great.
Yeah.
In my high school, his name was Don. And he was a nice, sweet kid.
The weather club.
President of the weather club. He would get on the morning announcements every day and tell us the weather. I wish I could remember his last name. I can't. His name was Don.
Did he just like whatever the equivalent of Google was back then?
No, like, no, they didn't have it. Like I went to high school.
So he just like watched the 6 o'clock news in the morning. The 6
I don't know.
News and
I don't know
him.
How you found it out, but like he looks like this kid, like very quiet, very calm. Not like no one is sending my friend Don from high school to a town of 10 people that all fucking hate each other that are hammered all day long with a crocodile
and
to solve
you,
a murder and
the
hate
cops.
And hate the cops.
But Matt is quoting Scream. Everyone's a suspect,
right?
Because he's like everyone hates each other and they hate us, and there's just a lot of secrets, and I'm kind of. We're looking at everyone. We have 10 suspects.
Did you catch the lady detective here? Her name is Detective Kitchen.
Yeah.
I was obsessed.
Kitchen.
Can you imagine growing up with the last name like Kitchen?
Yeah.
I think it's great.
What show is it? Is it Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul? Someone's name is Michael Dinner.
Really?
And I saw it in the credits every time. Because you see a name like that and you're like, Michael Dinner.
And tell them the thing they're not allowed to do if they go to that town.
What are they not allowed to
do? If you go to Albuquerque and you want to go on the Breaking Bad tour,
you can't throw the pizza on top of that house. Poor people's, the people live there.
I know.
And not Walter White.
I know.
He's in witness, or he's dead or whatever it is.
Right.
Crystal Blue Persuasion, right? Everyone seemed to have a major issue with Patty, which is different than what we heard 10 minutes ago, which is that he's an icon that everybody loves.
100%. But also the cops are running around just accusing everybody. Like, they're like, not only are they accused, they know that, like, every person did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, like...
Why did you do it? How'd you do it? Fran, who runs the pie shop...
I had a rotten Christmas. They asked me about Patty and this and what I'd done on the 16th, and I heard my freezers open. And I said to him, I know why you're looking in my freezer. I said, you're looking for fucking Patty, aren't you?
You're like, you're fucking looking for Patty in my fucking freezer?
And she is like, well, I'd love to talk to you, but I have a hair appointment. So they're like, oh, you know what, Fran, go to your hair appointment and come talk to us about a murder
now, listen,
after your hair appointment.
Fran tells us she's going to this hair appointment in a town called Catherine. It's a 10-hour drive. And she gets pulled over. Like, the cops know nobody hates Patty more than Fran. Nobody.
She says, I hate him with the fire of 1,000 suns. I cannot tell you. I hate him more than you, and that's a lot. I did not kill him.
But I did not. Do I wish he was dead? Am I glad that he's dead? Absolutely.
That's what she says.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, and look, I think most of us can relate. Right. Is my life better off without him?
Yes.
Did I cause him harm? No.
Did I think about causing him harm constantly? Yes.
Did I? No.
But I didn't. And he's not in my goddamn freezer. But I will say, the cops are like, all right, go get your hair done. Come see us after.
In like they're, 2 days?
I know.
Must be nice.
Accommodating down there.
But the producers of the documentary ask the cops to describe Patty and Fran's relationship.
And Sergeant Kitchen is gobsmacked. She has no idea what to say.
And they like pause and look at each other and kind of smirk. And they're like, we don't know how to answer that right now. Can you come back to us? And then this is where we start.
Silence for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, this is where we start chapter two, the Great Australian Meat Pie War.
This is my favorite chapter.
The night Patty went missing.
Yeah.
There's this phone booth. And there were two attempts to use the phone booth, and they both happened around dusk.
Which is also when Patty went missing.
Right. So the phone booth is directly across from Patty's home.
Yes.
As well as Fran's tea house.
Yes.
Okay.
So Fran is, just ask her, she'll tell you.
I'm the longest resident here. And not bragging or anything, I put Larimar on the map.
Who would like a pie?
Yeah, okay, guaranteed to put a hump on your back. My pies, the famous Larimar pies in the Northern Territory.
She put Larimar on the map, according to her, okay? She's been there for 50 years. She's the longest resident. She has this little pie shop where, like, part of the, quote, charm or whatever is that she's always yelling at her customers for some reason. So the one thing I like, though, is that she gives you a stuffed animal when you leave.
You know who would love that?
Daisy.
Daisy Judith.
I think that would be amazing.
Absolutely.
I would go to Larimar for that reason.
I know. She would get a meat pie every single day if it meant...
I'll pass on the meat pies.
Okay. They don't sound delicious.
They sound awful.
You know what I mean? But they are. Australia is fucking famous for them.
But Fran's like, they come to visit Fran. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, really, Fran? Exactly. They come to visit you who put Larimar on the map? Okay, great.
But they're saying to Fran, like, you know where his body is. Where's his body? And this is where I called it before the documentary said it. I'm like, this is a fucking Sweeney Todd moment if ever
right.
I've seen it. Like, they are literally saying, oh my God, you killed the guy and chopped him up and put him in your fucking meat pies.
And she's like,
there's a musical about that, fam. There are some of you who don't know this. Some of you are learning this for the first time. There is a musical about a lady who does this. It's called Sweeney Todd.
It's called Sweeney Todd. And also, Sweeney Todd is in it and he's a murderer. And then they work together. Yeah.
It's a, you know what? I'm going to, while we're here, sorry, Robbie, sorry, Steve, I don't like it. I don't think it's a good musical.
It's,
the music is weird.
It's, whose?
The music to Sweeney Todd, it's bizarre.
Right. It's very like, it makes you anxious.
In
it's
London.
Like, ooh, a customer. And then it's like, another, and it's like, it's very Sondheim-y, you're like...
Where the music doesn't make any sense, it doesn't sound like anything.
Which is why I can't do, like, certain kinds of jazz. Because I'm like, I just feel like, oh, it's right there. No, it's a different way.
And it just play the right notes.
People think that's, like, genius and brilliant, and sometimes it hurts my head a little bit.
Steve and Robbie are going to be so mad at me.
It's okay.
It's all right. We don't have to agree on everything.
You know why? Because they acknowledge that opinions are okay. So I think we're going to be just fine. So Fran and Patty lived across the street from each other, right?
Yes.
And they used to be, doesn't it always start this way? They used to be great friends. Patty had triple bypass surgery, and Fran would help take care of him.
She would bring him food, and then Fran's, like, grandson figured out how to get the internet.
My grandson got the internet, and he showed me on the internet. Patty's saying, oh, I bought a pie over at Fran's place and I spat it out. My dog wouldn't even eat it. He'd never bought a pie from here. I wouldn't sell him one.
True, I used to go over there and the dog wouldn't eat me pie. Fran's pies. Yeah.
Patty was just talking shit about the meat pies.
Right, like my dog wouldn't even eat it, right?
And I'm like... Which, in fairness, is probably true, Fran.
Right, but also I thought you didn't have reception here.
I know.
Like, we're going back and forth. I thought this was this isolated town and everyone loved Patty, and then it's like, but we have reception and everyone hates them, and it's just like, I'm getting conflicting stories, and there's no one to be like, here's the middle ground.
Right.
Where I'm all just like, what is going on?
Because what I keep saying is, like, of course they all hated each other, and of course it gets violent. Like, this is a town where there's nothing to do but drink.
And
they drink
angry.
All day. Yes.
And like gossip and just like hate each other.
Yes.
So our reporter friend is like, meat pies are an essential dietary item to Australians. If you talk shit about them, it's a major offense.
I know.
So now
and
this
like
starts-
the ones that we see in this news report look delicious. I'm just saying like the Fran's don't look particularly interesting. We see like the buckets full of pie water, they call it, that she allegedly stirs with her feet.
Well, according to Patty on the internet. So let's take that with a big old heaping serving of salt, shall
Which
we?
Which I'm sure is plenty. plenty in that pie water.
There's like plenty. But this starts the great meat pie war. Because
yes.
Patty, here's the thing about Patty. Patty loved starting. He didn't just like stir the pot and start shit. He would like insert himself into other people's business
yes.
and then start shit that didn't involve him at all. And now there's all this drama because Patty entered the chat.
And it really sucks. It's like, if you have the choice in life to be like that or not, don't be like that. That's
right.
That just, like, it was like, he would create drama for his own amusement.
So, but it's like, I don't know. This is so disjointed because it's like, we just keep going back and forth about
what
their
rivalry. What happens is Fran has the pie shop and she was like helping Patty by giving him food. Patty talks shit about Fran. Fran gets mad at Patty. Patty is friends with Barry, who runs the bar.
Republican.
And basically Patty, just to be a dick, goes to Barry, the bar owner, and is like, hey, you should sell pies.
Fran was quite upset because the pub started selling pies. I used to call it a pie war.
Many, many years ago, Barry got talking about pies. My missus comes out with some pies. So, let's do it. We're in the market.
Like she said, I don't sell alcohol, so you shouldn't be selling pies.
And it becomes this big fucking
rivalry. Because Patty's bored and he hates you.
That's exactly the answer, right? Yes.
But then the rivalry is getting really petty and out of control and ridiculous. Like, they're suing each other and Patty threw a donkey penis on her property and dragged a dead kangaroo. And also we had to see this reenactment of this poor dead kangaroo.
I know.
Like, can we not?
Did you ever think when you were a kid you'd grow up to have a job that would require you to say the words donkey penis? Can you say it again?
Donkey dick. It's like, and I...
Oh, my God. You like, said donkey penis.
That's what it is.
I know. No, it undeniably is a donkey penis that we're talking about, but oh, my God.
Now, you can have your issues with Fran, but she's at the end of her rope, and you would be too.
And she's crying. I know.
Enough.
Because it's mean. It's like, look, there's like only 8 people in this fucking town. Like, can you guys be the ones who sell the booze, and we'll be the ones that sell the food?
But no one's helping each other. They're all nightmares because
yes.
our friend Billy, who is sick and had to have some of his tongue removed,
yes.
he was married to Fran for a long time, and then they got divorced, and now no one likes Fran because they all sided with Billy. Like, everyone is just miserable and hates each other.
It's true.
And by Fran's the way, no picnic, and Patty's a nightmare. You know what I mean? It's like, no one's helping each other. No one's helping themselves.
No.
Like, it's a mess.
And also, Billy, the thing that's really sad is we see archival footage of Billy and Fran back in the day.
Yeah.
They were super in love.
And he's, like, looking through the photo albums.
I know.
He's like, I don't really know what happened. She, like, hates me now, but she lives, like, a stone. So she lives
literally
2 feet away from him.
And he only knew that he didn't live there anymore because she changed the locks and put all of his shit on the sidewalk.
So, see, no one's helping. No one's helping any situation, whether it's their situation or someone else's.
But then he, like, had to go and turn the entire town against her. Like, that's not nice.
Yeah, I don't, but I don't know who to believe. I don't understand.
This is the wildest documentary, fam.
So Fran puts an ad in the paper.
Yes.
It says, help wanted, male caretaker / offsider / gardener.
Yes.
Age preferred, late 50s to early 70s for Fran's tea house. No cooking.
Right.
Free accommodation and meals provided.
Yeah.
So this guy, Owen, takes the gig. And now Larimar is a town of 11 people.
Yes.
Now 10. But it's a teeny tiny town. Everyone knows everybody's shit.
Can I just say too, Owen is the, he moves in. He like moves into a bungalow on Fran's property.
Right.
Have you ever met Owen?
Owen? No, I don't think so.
I don't even know what he looks like.
Have you ever met Owen?
Never.
Who's Owen?
Never met the bro. I don't know him at all.
Everyone in town knows everyone's shit and knows each other. But even today, they're like, who's Owen?
Because
I never met Owen.
And he fucking lives there. And
that's
the thing,
weird.
Owen is the smartest one of all of them. He's the only one who doesn't talk to the documentary. He didn't give an interview to that news crew. Owen is keeping his fucking mouth shut.
But they all live on top of each other.
Yeah.
And people are like, wait, who the hell is Owen? He just like stayed locked in Fran's house.
It doesn't make any sense.
But
he doesn't even live in Fran's house. He lives in a bungalow on Fran's property, which is like in between. He lives right between Patty and Fran, and that becomes important.
That becomes important.
Yeah.
So now we're back to Sweeney Todd stuff. Like they're posting signs like, come have Fran's Sweeney Todd pies.
Because
like,
we're back to the present where Patty is missing and everyone is saying she killed him and chopped him up and put him in the meat pies. And I gotta tell you, if there's even an outside chance that that's possible, I'm never eating there again.
No.
You know, but they're trying to kill her business and it works.
It works.
You know?
But this all, of course, is on the news because Patty, this like quirky little town where everyone hates each other,
right.
Someone, there's like this mystery, someone has gone missing.
Yeah.
And they are on the news, they're talking about about the rivalry, the great meat pie war or whatever. And the reporter's like, oh, you're killing me. Just kidding. But seriously, if you have any information, please call the police about Patty.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I know. But now we're going to learn about Bobby. Bobby is a woman. She's one of the local Larima residents, and she's friends with Fran initially.
When I was told what Bobby said, I couldn't believe it. How could they do such a terrible thing when you were so good to them? Why?
I told the detectives that she used to say in front of me, quite often I heard her say it. She'd say, oh, I'll kill him, I'll have him killed.
Take all of this with a grain of salt. I don't know who to believe.
Right.
But the residents are telling the cops, you know, Fran used to talk about having Patty killed. Is that important? I know we haven't seen him in 9 days.
And I know she's got a pie shop full of meat pies.
May or may not be human meat. I don't know.
We don't know.
But
do you believe that she stirs the pie water with her feet, like Patty told everybody?
Patty destroyed her business.
Yes.
And they hate each other. And Fran would scream because Fran is loud. Like, she just is. And she loves that, and that's part of her charm.
Come on.
She's screaming about how she wants him dead or will have him killed or wants him to disappear or whatever.
But remember, these people are drunk all day long. This is not a judgment. I'm just saying people talk like this when they get fucking hammered. And like, imagine you lived on top of the person you hated the most in the world who is continually actively trying to make your life miserable.
Of course.
Of course you'd be like, I fucking have that person killed.
But then Fran's like, I can't believe they're saying this about me. Even though I absolutely said it and I hated him.
Yeah, but like people, like you cannot take somebody speaking euphemistically seriously. Like, give me give me some evidence. You know what I mean?
But now Fran, because
this documentary is real short on evidence.
Like,
you know.
So Fran, it's like it takes us
an
hour.
That is my favorite. Aaron, can we get a zoom in on that? Just utter frustration.
This documentary is 2 hours long. We get to the core of it.
Yeah.
An hour and 45 minutes into it.
I know. You're right about that. I know. Because we were saying this off mic. Like, I don't think this is a bad documentary. I think the documentarian had a point of view, which was like, we are going to make a documentary about this town. It's not even so much about the missing person.
Right.
They mistakenly believe that you and I are interested in these people. We are not.
We're doing that thing where we're watching it for work.
Right. Yes.
And here we are.
Yeah, and here we are.
So now, you know, they're searching Fran's house, obviously.
Yeah, I wrote they tossed Fran's
house. They tossed the joint.
They had a warrant for this, they had a warrant for that. The forensic mob went through the house and my heart was going on thinking, what if they planned something? What if somebody's put something somewhere and I don't know? Somebody at the pub could have come over and planted something because I knew they were against me.
Fran's a nervous wreck thinking somebody planted something in her house.
That's a total possibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's saying, like, I believe that Fran had nothing to do with this. Because, she looks really scared. She's like, I didn't do anything. But what if they find something that somebody fucking planted? Everyone in this town hates everybody. They will go to the ends of the earth to ruin each other's lives. It is wild.
Right. And Fran is one of those people because she points the finger at Barry immediately.
I know. Barry, who owns the pub and is, like, Patty's best friend. She's like, it's definitely that guy.
And her big thing is, like, well, Barry didn't call the police for 72 hours. Fran, hold on a second.
Yeah.
This is not, these are not the, you are not the type of person, you are not the type of people to call the police.
That is true.
You fucking hate the cops and everyone's hammered and going on a walkabout or whatever. And Patty, like 72 hours.
Putting shrimp on the Barbie or whatever.
Like,
yes.
Fran, now you're all high and mighty. You're every time we see Fran, she's like, I told the cops I should have your job. And, blah. And I'm like, Fran, all Fran does is yell at the cops about how stupid and useless they are. And now she's like, well, Patty didn't call him. But Barry didn't call about Patty. It took 72 hours. Is that weird? And I'm like, you're all out of your minds. Every last one of you.
My favorite thing is when you start talking to the people in the documentaries, like they're here and like you're actually trying to reason
I
with
know.
Them. Now, Fran, hang on.
Like, Fran.
I know.
And I have to stop because it doesn't work. No one's going to change.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like they're on that side of the street. I'm on mine. Like, enough. I got to disconnect from it because it's not helpful.
Nope. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Barry, the pub owner, is like, the guy was my best fucking friend. What reason would I have for killing him?
Right. So let's go to the pub and let's head to chapter 3.
Yes.
How to Dismantle a Tiny Town.
Yes. Well, because this is where we learn that Patty came over from Ireland in 1966, or when he was 66. No, 1966.
When he was 19-ish. But the point, here's what we learned.
Very lost.
We learned that Patty was always running his mouth. Like, all of his stories are disputed.
Patty told me himself at Brunette Downs that he had a relationship with an Afghani Aboriginal woman and had 9 children.
Then he got a job at Heartbreak Hotel.
He was involved with a shootout.
He was in an old-timey shootout like Patty. He's just, you know, it's that whole, he's enough. That is awful.
I just snorted so loud that it hurt.
Yeah, I heard it.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
Really?
You okay? That sounded horrible. It sounded really bad.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
December 16th, 2017. This is the night of Patty's disappearance, right?
Yes.
Some residents have told the cops that they heard a gunshot. Others say they didn't. Nobody knows the facts.
There's only two people in town with access to a gun. One is Barry, the guy who owns the pub, and the other one is Richard, who is the angriest person in this documentary.
Yeah.
He's like kind of works at the pub or whatever, or he worked at the pub, but then he got fired because he was drunk all the time. And even Barry was like, drink as much as you want, but not that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
One of the cops is telling us this, and the emergency system at the station is going off. He has to sit there and wait.
I know. This is another.
I repeat, this is a test only, and he's sitting there.
I know.
And they're all getting interrupted. The duck phone, emergency broadcast system.
How did the duck phone sound again?
I think it's like a double ring. Also, Barry was a, they call him an old poacher, and I'm like,
what does that mean?
Like an animal poacher?
Oh.
Because we get this like crocodile jump scare.
I know.
Really?
I didn't appreciate it.
And Steve Irwin's here, and I'm like, oh my God, hi Steve Irwin.
Well, that's Steve Irwin's dad.
Because, well, we see Steve Irwin and then his dad.
Yeah.
Because
I follow the Steve Irwin's son on TikTok. He's incredible.
And his daughter.
Yeah.
His
they're amazing. Yeah.
But the croc is like lunging at Steve, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so dangerous to watch. It's like, it makes me so anxious.
Here's my question about the crocodile, the pet crocodile of the town. Does it just like live in a watering hole in its natural habitat, or is it actually like a prisoner pet?
Barry has the quote the zoo, but he's also a poacher. Now I googled, maybe I'm missing something, maybe this is a slang, I don't know, but poachers are like, they kill animals.
Poachers are very bad.
Right,
yes.
They're awful.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
There's no world in which like poaching something could be like, oh, that's I love that about you.
But I'm like, he has the zoo, and he's like, I always loved animals, but yet he's like selling, he's
maybe
like.
Maybe it's slang for something else in Australia.
That I couldn't find, but I'm like, dude, like, come on, Barry. Like, that really sucks.
But he's the guy who gave Bob Irwin, who's Steve Irwin's dad, his first crocodile.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. And then we move on from this as quickly as we got here.
We do learn that, like, Barry, like, loves animals, and he would, like, go on wandering abouts or whatever they're called, like, in the outback looking at the birds. he went on a wandering?
Yeah.
I'm going a wandering?
He's going a wandering.
He would go wandering and, like, look at the, I thought it was sweet that, like, he lived in the middle of nowhere, but, like, where there was lots of animals, and he, like, loved animals.
That's what I loved, but then they threw the word poacher in there, and then I got confused, and now I'm not sure how to feel.
Yeah.
Which is sort of my thesis for this whole documentary.
Right. But he just says, like, he was my best mate. I miss him a lot. Like, I didn't fucking do it.
Now, Bobby and Carl are two residents, and their daughter's Diane.
Bobby and Carl, it's a man and a woman.
Yeah. And Diane owned the pub before Barry. And she's back in Larimar for the first time in 17 years. And Diane is like,
Barry, he's got a massive crocodile out the back, for a start. What's stopping him from chopping him up and feeding him to the crocodile? I reckon he was fed to the crocodile. That's why the crocodile's fat.
Yeah. Barry killed Patty and fed him to the crocodile. Problem solved. Case closed.
Now, I like Diane, and Diane will learn her story in a second, but why does she think that Barry would have killed him and fed him to the croc? It doesn't make any sense. Why would Barry kill his best friend and best
customer? We're stopping because something doesn't make sense.
I know.
Fran's meat pies don't really make all that much sense either.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's just, it's like, it doesn't make any sense why Barry would do this. Like, why would you kill your
best
customer?
Because, like, that's the story her parents heard, and that's the story she was told. Yep. Honestly, like, I think everyone's sort of, depending on who you spoke to first, that's kind of the story you're believing
and
right
Diane,
now.
And Diane, her story is that she thinks, like, she thinks Patty's an idiot. She thinks that he and Barry got into a fight, and Barry punched him and killed him by accident, and that's why he had to feed him with a crocodile or whatever. But we learn that Barry, who owns the pub, and Diane, who's, like, new to the story, they have a rivalry because Diane, who grew up in Larimar, she, like, it was her pub.
Yeah, and she Barry, had it first.
She had it first, and, like, essentially Barry got it taken away from her because she wasn't, like, keeping it. Like, there was, like, you know, bugs and animals or whatever. Like, she, it wasn't up to code, and she got
it. You think Barry's is up to code?
No.
Exactly.
No. He swindled the pub away from Diane.
He wanted the pub, and so he gets shady and gets people to complain.
Yes.
And write letters. And I'm like, to who? There are 10 of you.
Exactly.
But once again, Patty was involved in this.
Yes.
Because right. Patty just inserts himself into all of these situations.
And then we learn that Diane, after losing the pub, she buys the Green Park Tourist Complex, which is like this amazing thing that has a shop, a cafe, a swimming pool, a crocodile arena, and it's like a fuel stop. And so she buys that, and then like she like is running it for a couple of years, and then it burns down.
Right. So we learn that Barry was like, quote, lending government money to himself. Yeah. Like, you mean money laundering?
Right.
Barry got the pub and then banned half the town. I'm like, so half the town is five of you. I know. Am I missing it? Like, is it the whole point that there's only 11 people in this town?
Because it's also like, well, then just go drink at Jim's house. Who cares?
Like, whatever.
You know?
So that, but because Patty was always involving himself in this, like, someone says if there was a fire, you know, damn well that Patty lit the fire.
Yes.
But he also, we get this story and I'm like, what the fuck?
He used to stalk all the girls, my niece and my daughter.
The girls were only little 6-7 year olds. They came home crying because Patty had chased them.
They came home crying because Patty was chasing them.
Yeah.
So either he's a total fucking nuisance or he's a creep.
Right.
And like, no, we don't know what the real story is. But when you saw Patty coming, you're kind of like, there's either he's reporting about drama or starting drama or
yes.
someone is talking about shit he did or he set something on fire or
yes.
he did like, because then there was a major fire in 2007 that destroyed most of the town and it stays destroyed. Like
yes.
they didn't rebuild it. We see the remnants of it. Some people think Barry did it or Barry and Patty. Now, some people think Diane and her parents did it for the insurance money
yes.
because they just like happened to not be in town that day.
And they not only weren't in town, they weren't in town and they had the fire truck
they,
with
like,
them.
They like took it with them.
Yeah.
And they're all saying like, we didn't see a single cent from that. We did not get the insurance money. Like
right.
it was definitely probably maybe possibly Patty and or Barry.
It's so weird.
Can this we talk about Kelly the dog
yeah,
now?
Yes. The whole thing about Kelly the dog is that it's...
She's a Kelpie.
What does that mean?
They're super, 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 super fast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on with Kelly is that it's not just Patty that is missing. His dog is missing, too.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking that, like, the missing dog could be, like, a major clue as to who did this or why.
Now, chapter 4, every dog has its day. So
yes.
here's the thing about Kelly. Because she's fast, she's not easy to catch.
Right.
And she didn't like everybody. She
right.
only liked 3 people. So for a stranger to be able to catch her and kidnap her with Patty doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, Barry is one of the only people she let pet her.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, Barry did it.
Barry, the pub owner, which, again, why would you kill your best customer?
For what?
For what?
Like, if he hasn't killed him yet, there's nothing Patty can do. And I mean that as, like, Patty can get away with anything with this Barry guy.
Yes.
So, like, oh, so he was drunk again? Like, so, like, what's the big offense that would make Barry finally snap? Like, that doesn't exist.
No. And then there's that guy, Richard, who used to work at the pub, and they're like, oh, he must have done it because he wanted the dog. But then no one produces the dog. The dog is gone. Like, Richard didn't do it.
Right. But we're with him now, and he was sort of with us throughout.
Yes.
He was the one who was fired because he drank too much.
Yes.
Fired from the pub in Larimar because he drank too much. Like,
I know.
So, and so he now has moved 2,500 miles away from Larimar, and he has a farm and he's like shearing sheep or whatever.
Yeah. Which is beautiful to watch, by the way.
He is yet another person who was fighting with Patty.
Yes.
So when Patty went missing, Richard had 3 dogs. The 2 girl dogs each had 4 puppies. Everyone check your math, but I believe that's 8 puppies.
Yeah.
Now, Richard's like, all the puppies were sold, 5 in one town, 1 in another, and this guy Dave has the 2 other dogs.
Yeah.
Now, this Karen person is like, nope, that's absolutely not true. Dave took 2, and Richard left the others to die in a garbage dump, and I know because I saw it.
It was a terrible smell came from down there, and I actually made the comment to Mark, this is what we would expect to smell if Patty had been in the dump. And I looked down, and here were these puppies. Richard's puppies.
What a bunch of lying motherfucking cunts, mate. Mm.
What a bunch of lying motherfucking cunts. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh. Like, there's no proof of this. No one said
no.
a word about it until there were cameras in their faces.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing, right?
All
it's
right.
pure speculation.
Everyone pull over, because now we're at a story that actually is relevant to the case.
Oh, God, what time is it?
I know. It's like, it's 2 a.m. tomorrow.
It's 2 a.m.
So we learn a few days before Patty went missing, he had an argument with Owen the gardener. Remember, Owen the gardener was hired by Fran, and he lives in a bungalow between Fran's house and Patty's house.
And no one in the town knows him or met him or has any experience.
Yes.
No one really has an Owen story except for this one.
But we see video of this guy. Like, he exists. Like, we know he's real. And the problem was Patty's dog, Kelly, was barking really loudly. And Owen apparently said to Patty, get rid of that fucking dog or I'll get rid of it for you. And Patty, you know, like, you come for my dog, you come for me. And
which he's honestly
like,
is the only response.
I totally agree.
Because Patty's like, you touch her, I'll kneecap you.
Yes,
yes. And I'm like, that's the right answer.
Yeah, and Fran tells us Owen had a temper. Like he was not one to back down from a fight.
Right.
So, like, this is, like, two hot-headed men, probably both hammered. This is not a good recipe.
Well, not only... And now we get, you know, Richard, people are saying like, oh, Owen is the type, like he would kill that dog and he would kill Patty, like no question.
Yes, yeah.
Here's the thing about Owen. Owen was a bare knuckle boxer.
Yes.
This shit is fucking serious.
It's like, yes.
And it's a major part of Australian culture, we're told. But these dudes know how to fight and they know how to fight. They can knock you out with one punch. It's serious.
We see some of it. We see actual footage of it.
Yeah. It's like what Brad Pitt didn't snatch.
Yes, yes,
that
yes,
kind of boxing.
Yes.
Like, underground.
I'm thinking Fight Club.
He also did it in Fight Club.
Yeah.
But in Snatch, he was literally, like, traveling around, like, winning
oh,
money
shit.
In his fights.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah, that's me. I'm sure you're wondering how I got in this situation. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But they can knock you out with one punch. Just remember that. That's all I'm saying. So here's what the cops know. And finally, there's not a phone ringing to interrupt us. We get the story.
Yeah.
Here's what the cops know. Patty and Kelly, the dog, went to the pub, as yeah. usual. They left at dawn, as usual.
Yeah.
Patty went home. There's evidence of this because his hat and his keys and his glasses and
yeah.
all his personal effects.
At the same time, around 6:30, someone goes to the phone booth right near Patty's house to make a phone call. We know now that Owen made those calls.
And we know those calls were made by Owen. They
now
tell
we
us.
Know.
Now we know.
And that's new information at this point in the documentary.
Right.
So we know that, like, as Patty is walking home, like, past this phone booth, we know that Owen is out at the phone booth using the phone.
Now,
so they're going to encounter each other.
Right. Now, Owen is mad that Kelly the dog kept coming over to his property to play with his dogs.
Yes.
Now, the theory is this. That Owen, sorry, all my dog people and animal people. The theory is that Owen shot and killed Kelly the dog for being on his property, like he'd threatened he would do.
Yeah.
Patty went over to make good on his threat to kneecap the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Owen hit Patty and killed him with one punch, which for a bare knuckle boxer is not that far fetched.
But Patty's also 70. You know what I mean? So
and,
like
skinny and scrawny. Like,
yes.
And Owen is huge.
Yes.
So this theory to me. This is what happened.
Makes the most sense. And it was like he wasn't trying to kill him, but he did kill him. And then it's like, well, now what am I going to do with his body?
Now Fran suddenly is back to talk about how she's screaming at the cops. I should be doing your job and you should be making the meat pies. And I'm like, Fran,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
The cops test Owen's car. Zero evidence. No blood, no hair, no DNA. Nothing.
Yes.
Now, when the cops tell Owen and Fran this information, because Owen is still living on Fran's property, again, Fran, who hated Patty and told everyone she wanted him dead.
Yes.
When they hear that there's no evidence, what do those two do? They go out drinking.
Right.
They're celebrating. They're like cheersing the fact that Patty is out of their hair and no one is looking at them.
Yeah. But also we learn that as soon as he gets the car back from the forensic testing, he immediately sells it.
Right. Now we're off to chapter 5.
The never never.
The never never.
So it's 2 years since Patty's disappearance. There's a $250,000 reward. Like,
yeah.
They really want to get to the bottom of this.
And the investigation remains active.
Yes.
We learn, right?
We're with Barry, the pub owner. Remember, it's 2 years later. We now learn that Barry has incurable prostate cancer. And he is as thin and sick looking as Bill has been this whole time.
Right. Now, Fran has also left Larimer, and she has cancer.
Yes.
And it kind of struck me that at least three people from this town
three out of
had
10.
Cancer.
Like, maybe check the water or something.
Something, right? That,
you know?
That struck me.
100%.
Anyway, Fran, again, this is 2 years later. She's like, oh, I had to fire Owen. Like, I didn't feel safe with him.
Yes.
I definitely think he knows something. Now, Fran, this is a totally different tune. Fran said the complete opposite 2 years ago.
Yes.
Because there's an old clip from that footage from the news. Again, we don't know what this is, but it's everyone saying really incriminating things
yeah,
through
just
this lens.
Yeah, super
like,
honest.
Through today's lens.
Yeah.
There's a clip of Fran being like,
it will only take a bit of time before things may work out. Somebody will probably move or disappear or go somewhere. Disappear or go somewhere, I don't know. But, you know, time, patience. Got plenty of it, plenty of time.
Eventually someone's going to move or disappear.
Yes.
I just have to be patient.
Yes.
Now, that's just a lot to say.
It is, but it's also like no one's going to tell on themselves
no.
like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Fran had anything to do with this. I don't know.
So, Owen, of course, won't speak to the doc. And I'm like, oh, cool, but his lawyer will. No, his lawyer won't.
But the thing is, his lawyer is here. This is why I'm saying Owen is the smartest one of all these people, because I think Owen definitely fucking did this. Owen's attorney, handsome son of a bitch, sits
Matthew
down.
Matthew Littlejohn.
Yes, Matthew Littlejohn sits down with the documentary crew and then just refuses to answer any questions.
It's a massive waste of time.
But it's also a masterclass in like, no, you're never going to know anything.
Because they're like, can you talk about this? And he's like, I can't talk about it.
No.
No, I'm not going to talk about it.
But I'm also like, where did Owen get the money for this guy? You know what I mean?
I don't
like,
know.
It's wild. Like, because I think Owen definitely fucking did this.
If he paid him in cash, then it's under the table, bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, exactly. Bets. Exactly.
So now we get to on-screen text. 4 years after Patty's disappearance, Northern Territory police revealed that listening devices had been installed in Owen's bungalow on Fran's property.
Yes.
The audio was captured in the months after Patty's disappearance. The months after. So now 4 years later, we're hearing it, but they got this right away.
And it's recreated audio, it says, but it's him singing.
Oh, this is terrifying.
It's terrifying. He says about having a fight. Smacked him in his fucking nostrils with me claw hammer. He's talking about hitting him in the head with a fucking
but
hammer.
He says his name. He's using the term killerated.
Yes.
He goes, I killerated old Patty. I fucking killerated him.
Yes.
And now he's getting angrier and angrier. He goes, I struck him on the fucking head and killerated him. Basherated him.
Yes. And then there's like a sound, we're told.
Like a woman screaming?
Yes. And it says, I kill you myself. I kill pup dog. I kill pup dog. Like, he's admitting to kill.
Yeah.
Can you just
Thanks
imagine?
For the recommendations, everybody.
I know.
This is great.
I know.
You.
But he's like sitting around his house getting wasted at 2 a.m, just singing to himself about killing this guy and his dog.
Right. It's actually Fran's house. But
yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And I kill. Now, Fran's lawyer today has just informed her of the existence of these tapes.
Yes.
Now, the documentary crew reads her the transcripts, and her first reaction is, oh, God, I'm so glad it's him on that tape and not me. Fran. But Fran is also like finishing the sentences in the audio. She's like, yeah. Oh, the claw hammer. He's talking
yes.
about the claw hammer.
Yes.
Fran.
I know.
Because Owen is saying, I killed him with a hammer. You can't find it. You'll never find out. I killed him and I'm getting away with it. That is the audio.
I know.
That those are the words Owen is saying.
But what is so chilling about it is that he's right. Because the next shot is Owen leaving court. We see like the cameras following him, trying to get him to say a statement. He won't make a statement.
This hugely damning, strange information is dropped, and then nothing, and he's allowed to go.
Mr. Laurie denied it was his voice, telling the court that wasn't me, and had nothing to say as he left.
They don't have any evidence of it, and they have to let him go. He is never charged.
No body, no weapon, no proof.
Yep.
And I'm just sort of like, quick reminder that there are like thousands of missing and murdered Indigenous and Aboriginal women
yes.
and people in Australia. And I guess if they came from some weird, quirky town where everybody hates each other, we'd care.
Where there just happens to be like a trove of interviews from 2 years ago where people, they were all talking about how much they hated each other and wanted each other
and
to be killed.
And they're all like characters.
Yeah.
Like, I guess people would give a shit.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. It's like, it took us so long to get here. And it's like, wow, this Owen guy is a piece of shit.
Yes.
Like, he did it and we know he did it. But I guess the other part of the argument is like, right, but Jillian, what are we... He didn't get charged. He can't get charged. It would be a 15-minute documentary then.
Right.
So I guess the point is,
yeah.
for people who don't watch this for work, the point is it's just sort of a study on this town and these people and how, like, sometimes you just get away with murder.
I was going to say, like, he's lucky that nobody wandered by, you know, in the exact moment that he was, like, beating this guy to death with a claw hammer in the middle of the fucking street and then killing the dog.
Right.
You know?
Or killed the dog first.
Yeah. Oh, right. Exactly.
And then Patty went to make good on his threat. And then now here we are.
So in the end, we get the on-screen text. We learn Fran remains in Melbourne with her daughter but wants to move back to Larimer. Billy, the one who was really sick from the beginning, is now living on Fran's property. And remember, they were married.
They were.
And Fran's gone now. But he's moved back into the house she kicked him out of 30 years ago.
Changed the locks on him or whatever.
Yep. Barry, the pub owner, died of prostate cancer. He's buried in the bush. And Fran's grandson, Brent, has moved to Larimer and has taken over the pie shop. And the pub is now managed by a young couple from the Czech Republic who just had a baby, which was Larimer's first baby. In 40 years.
I know.
Like, the cycle continues.
I know. So are they going to try to, I don't know, like...
And then to date, no arrests have been made in the murder of Patty Moriarty. Like, I think it's done. Like,
oh, it's done.
They'll never get the guy.
No. I mean, because we know who did it, yeah. And it's like, there's no evidence, and they hated the cop so much that they just, you know... And they also hated each other so
yes.
much. That's the thing. Like, they couldn't...
I know.
They were, like, cutting off their nose to spite their face a little bit because they hated each other.
What a miserable existence. Why?
Right? Why? Make your pot... Do the thing that makes you happy.
Yes.
And shut up about it.
And shut up.
You know what I mean? Be happy and shut up about
it. And shut up about it.
So we can get to the bottom of some real shit.
Oh, God, girl, we did. What's it called?
Last Stop Larima.
Fam, that was amazing. What a wild ride.
That is a wild ride and a half.
Hey, let me ask you a favor. Join the Facebook group. Over 51,000 of your fellow TCO fam in there, just making friends, hanging out. I'm going back into the watch parties. I'm going to be doing them for Natalia Grace for the second season of it. You don't have to be on the Patreon for the watch parties. Just anybody in the Facebook group can join us.
And remember, for Natalia Grace, it's 6 episodes,
yeah.
But it's going to be done in 3 of our Patreon episodes. So episode 1 on our TCO Patreon is going to be episodes 1 and 2 of Natalia Grace.
Exactly. Yeah. What are we doing next, girl?
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. What is that?
Chowchilla. Do you know about Chowchilla?
No.
Oh, my God. It's like the biggest mass kidnapping, but...
It's called Chowchilla?
It's called Chowchilla because it's a town. It's the name of the town.
Where?
California.
Oh, my God.
It's an excellent documentary. The survivors are here.
Wow.
They're, like, telling their story. It's very, like, survivor-focused. I don't want to say victim-focused,
yeah.
But it's survivor-focused. It's incredible. It's very, very well done.
Okay, well, stay tuned for the trailer for that and our funny and hilarious outtakes.
Yeah,
a rage-filled actor. Yeah, exactly. We love you, fam.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Chowchilla was a wonderful place to grow up. We were little innocent children.
Never did I think that something like this could happen.
How does a school bus show up missing?
I did not want to go down there.
It was like somebody just took them up off the planet.
Was it a thrill crime?
Your guess is as good as mine.
It was a mystery. You had no answers.
They recovered a journal encrypted in unusual writing.
Never seen anything like that.
The kidnappers hit this town right in its heart by taking those children.
All the way through, they thought that they had thought of everything.
And we've been buried alive. And I thought to myself, we're going to die. We're going to die getting the hell out of here.
Chowchilla.
We are told that he can crack a whip twice, but we never see him do it.
We
see lots of footage of him trying to crack a whip, which, by the way, looks so fucking dangerous.
I know. They're really, like, heavy.
They're unwieldy. Like, anybody's going to get cracked in the face with that thing.
Well, Indiana Jones can do it.
Okay. I just mean nobody in this town.
Okay.
You know
right,
what I
right,
mean?
Right.
Absolutely nobody
only
in this town.
Can do it.
The number one question I get when I'm on the road is, when are you and Jillian doing a Jersey Shore recap podcast?
Oh, God.
The number one question.
We're not. I'm sure there are hundreds.
Maybe we'll do, like, a one-off for the Patreon or something.
I never finished it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So... Oh, sorry, everybody. It's the ADHD thing. I was, like, hyper fixated, and then
yeah.
I was like, look at that. And
yeah,
now
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's over.
Gone. It's
yeah.
gone now. It's like, I get it.